Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we switched places this week.
We sure did. You know how I feel about this remote hosting gig. It is not my favorite thing. You might think because I am 39 that I would be okay with this, but I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay. I need you in the room, and we are like ships in the night right now. You were in Hilton Head, and then we literally passed each other on a travel day. I mean, we didn't see each other, but we texted each other. And now I'm in Hilton Head recording in my bedroom at my in-law's house. And you're home.
That's it. Yeah, and I'm home. Look at that. Like, look what we did. We just did a switcheroo.
But you know what? Thank God for technology, because we can still do with this.
Yes.
We can still do it.
I do want to say this, just so everyone listening knows. We made a commitment when we first started this to two things for sure, that we were going to do the best that we could with audio so that our audio always was pleasing to the people listening. And then the second thing was that we were going to remain consistent. We were going to pick a day to publish, and we were going to do it week after week after week.
That's
and
right.
We were going to be consistent. And here we are. We're doing it remotely, but we're consistent and we're doing it and we're learning and we're growing and stretching.
You know what? This might be an annual March thing for you. This might be part of our rhythm is like, hey, Matt and Leanne are going to go remote for a couple weeks in the winter.
Yes, it can be remote March, or we can name it something cute. That is going to happen. If Lord willing and the creek don't rise, Daryl literally is having a meeting with his business partner and this evening. Actually, he's not even home this evening because he's having that meeting. And on his list is to let them know that next March, we're doing it again. And I'm very happy about that because Daryl works really, really hard, which I know you know. And I know a lot of the people listening know that about him. He's such a hard worker. Our boys, when our boys were little, they used to call him a worker man. They used to say my dad's a worker man, and he really is. And so it's good for him to get away and to put his feet up and smoke a cigar.
Well, and you know, if you can, you might as well. Because listen, I don't have a job where I can say, let's do it, and that's okay. But if you can, I think you should. And you should love it and you should enjoy it. So I think that's awesome. Hey, tell me your good day.
Okay, my good day is I spent some time in Amish country. Now, when I say Amish country, I'm technically in Amish country. I can look at an Amish farm like just down the road from me. But when I talk about Amish country, it's really, I'm talking about Berlin, Walnut Creek, Sugar Creek, where Walnut Creek cheese is.
Right.
Which, you know, let's talk about food.
Not yet.
But Walnut Creek and down where all the shopping and the, you know, I don't want to say touristy things, but really, yeah, places that people.
Well, everything's kind of together.
Yeah.
It makes it convenient.
I spent some time. Recently, my good day, I spent some time down in Amish country. Matt, getting ready for our live event coming up, and I am just so excited. We're really investing some time and effort and intentionality and just really making a special time with the people that are coming.
Absolutely. And listen, we have people coming from California, Louisiana, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, we got Missouri. If people are making the trek for our weekend, we got to make it great. So we are making it good.
Yes, we're going to make it good. And, you know, while I was spending the day there and talking to different people about our day, I don't want to spend too much time because I know we've got a whole episode to talk about, but it made me so thankful for my life and for the journey that has got me here and for the relationships that I have with people and just even being reminiscent with people and knowing some of the same people and having some of the same people in common and just talking about life. I mean, I just feel like this is my home, you know.
Well, we talked about that when you were in Hilton Head. We talked on the phone about how Amish country, Ohio's Amish country, is truly your home. You know, you have roots there.
Yes.
You and Daryl have done business there. You know, you have family there. Daryl's family especially is still all located there, and you see them quite a bit. And Daryl's friends. I mean, truthfully, Daryl's hunting buddies that he goes and spends time with, you can't ever replace that. There's a song I love by this artist called Ben Rector, and part of the song he says, "You can never make old friends." You know, you can't meet somebody and just make old friends. And so there is something special about that.
Yes, I love that song by him. And it just made me very thankful and just very excited for the event coming up. We're going to have so much fun.
Absolutely. My good day is, you know what's so great? My sister lives in South Carolina, and we passed through her city on the way to get to Hilton Head. And so we typically try to stop there either on our way to or on our way from, just so we can stop and see her kids. Now, I'm sure I've talked about this before, but our kids, our two oldest boys, are both within 6 months of each other, and the five of our kids just play so well together. And so this is the essence of our message. Is we literally stopped at her house. We got to her house at like 11 in the morning. We let the kids play in the backyard all day, all afternoon. The adults sat around and talked. We figured out what to make for lunch and dinner, and we just let our kids hang out. And then we took our kids home, threw them in the hotel, threw them in the shower, and we did it again the next day. And it was so great. So it is so awesome to have those memories that are like those, you know, our kids. I don't know what our kids are going to remember, but I know it's going to involve a lot of laughter and love and fun. It wasn't like we planned these elaborate things to do with our kids. We literally just sat in the backyard. So it was so great.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are on vacation, and this is kind of the idea came from something that has happened to us on vacation for our podcast today. Actually, my wife Mallory said, I think this would make a really good topic. But here's a little bit of backstory. Where my sister lives in South Carolina, and also here in Hilton Head, the pollen count this time of year is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Horrible. It's horrible.
Do your cars, when you're down here, do your cars get covered in yellow pollen?
Yes.
Yes. My sister's cars are covered. Our car is covered. There's little like thingy dingies falling from the trees. I don't know what's happening, but we don't have anything quite like this in Ohio. And so we stopped at my sister's for about 24 hours, maybe a little longer. And then we got to Hilton Head. And when we got to Hilton Head, one of our kids' eyes was like crusted shut. And then the second kid's eye got crusted shut. And
that's
so
gross.
Isn't that gross? It's like a pollen reaction conjunctivitis, kind of just your run-of-the-mill eye infection. And so we, you know, there's only one way to treat it, and it's just eye drops. And I think this is insane. You have to get them prescription. So we did a telehealth appointment. We got a prescription for eye drops, and our daughter has never had eye drops before. Now, if you were in the next room when we were trying to do eye drops, you would have thought that something terrible was happening to her, or that we were caging a mother tiger from her babies and we were locking her away forever.
Okay,
because
listen,
she had the most wild reaction.
Okay, let's remind everyone, in case someone is just listening for the very first time, Remy is your daughter, and she is four.
She's turning four this month.
Yeah, she's four.
Like just four.
She's basically four in her brain, though. She's so smart.
And so she had a wild reaction to this. And so the first time we did it, we were just talking a lot about it. And we were just saying, this is what's going to happen, da 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 da. And we figured out to get through the first night. And then the next day, she said to Mallory, when Mallory was doing the eye drops, she said, "Mom, I want to be brave in my head, but my body is not letting me be brave." And Mallory thought, wow, how profound of that to come from a four-year-old.
Like, her body is scared, but her brain wants to be brave.
Exactly. And Mallory and I ended up talking about that for a little bit. Like, how often are we like that? You know, we know in our head that we want to be brave, but for whatever reason, maybe it's a past experience, maybe it's just a literal visceral body reaction to something that's making us fearful, or maybe it's almost like a rewounding that sometimes comes over us. But for whatever reason, sometimes our body fights being brave. And that's kind of where we want to go today.
Okay. I've been thinking about this because I knew ahead of time we were going to be talking about this topic. And there's definitely a difference between practicing bravery, being brave and courageous, and also just feeling nervous.
Totally.
Because sometimes we're just nervous. Like,
totally.
Sometimes nerves can just be part of when you're getting ready to go up on stage, you get butterflies or, right. You know, you feel nerves. I think that instinctively, I think that within us, we know the difference between when we're getting ready to be really mm-hmm. brave and courageous and when it's just the butterflies or nerves.
Totally. Totally. And I think part of courage and bravery is when we fight through that. You know, I think the misconception, I always like thinking about where did we go wrong? You know, we talked about this with the bad advice last week. And I'm like, okay, where did we go wrong with this whole bravery and courage thing? Because for some reason, we have gotten it in our heads that bravery means you're not scared, or that being courageous means you don't have any fear. And that's not entirely true. In fact, I'm not sure that is true at all. Yeah. Because I think true courage and true bravery is me saying, even when I'm scared or even when I am full of fear, I'm going to take the risk because I know there might be something better on the other side. Or I know it's the right thing to do. I know this is something I want to try. You know, and it can be anything as small as going on a roller coaster, to having a speaking gig, to speaking up when a character issue's on the line. And so I think the true act of bravery is making the decision to do what is right or what you desire in spite of your fears. Mm. Not that you have to sort through those fears first. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I think sometimes we think we have to sort through the fears and we have to like get ourselves in a right place before we do the thing. But,
yes. But
does that ever really happen? I'm not sure.
No, it's almost like we feel like we have to be like a fireman with a water hose, and we have to like hose down the fears, and they're all going to be extinguished, and they're all going to be out, and now I can be brave.
Right.
And I actually think that you do it in spite of the feelings of fear.
Right.
Now, I thought about this on a personal level, because there's so much we can find online about courage and bravery, and I know
totally.
I know without even you telling me that you have got a list somewhere of the research and the stuff that you found online.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it from my personal place. Like, what does being brave and what has being brave look like in my personal life? And these are three things that I've determined that have to happen for me to exercise courage. The first one is I have to believe what I'm getting ready to do.
Mm, yes.
I have to believe it. I have to be all in. And you know that. You know that about me. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm all in, I am all in.
That's
the
right.
The minute that I'm not all in is the minute you'll be like, oh, what happened? her tank just went on E. Like,
yeah.
Because if I don't believe it, I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The second thing is I have to feel passionate about it and I have to care about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a level of just, and I know that kind of goes along with believing something, but I can believe something and lack like care or passion.
The passion, yeah.
And not feel like, well, I'm not going to be courageous about this because I really don't have a passionate feeling or real care about it.
Right.
So I have to feel passionate and care about it. And the third thing, and this goes along with what you were just saying, the risk of practicing the courage has got to be worth it for me. Like it's got to be worth what I believe the outcome is going to be.
Right. Right.
I have to believe it, but I also have to believe in my heart the risk that I'm getting ready to take. It's going to be worth it if this works. And then if it fails, it's not a failure because I've tried.
Right.
And I've been courageous. But right. The risk of doing it has to, I have to feel like it's going to be worth it if it works.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. You know, I was thinking about in what ways does courage, what does that look like? Because, you know, that looks different for a 4-year-old. It's putting in eye drops. For a 20-year-old, it might be going to class every day. It might be telling their parents they don't want to go to college. For a 30-year-old, it might be saying, I love you for the first time.
Right.
For a 40-year-old, it might be how you're raising your kids is a very different way than what you were raised. You know, courage looks so different to so many people. And I was thinking about what does courage look like in my life right now? Like, when do I have to practice courage? I think for me, sometimes where I've had to exercise courage is when I'm the first one to do something.
Mm.
You know, for me, it's I know, you know, sometimes in a meeting, there's pressure to just kind of go along with what everybody's doing. And you kind of get in these weird habits of groupthink where you're just like, everybody's nodding and you don't put yourself out there. For me, often courage looks like saying what I need to say because I know that it's right and putting myself out there first. And you know what's really funny, and I actually talk about this later in my notes, is social psychology would say that courage begats courage. You know, if we look at society, I'm not telling anyone anything we don't know. You can look at almost any movement in history. You can look at, you know, movements in general. Social psychology would say that courage affects other people. You know, it gives you this ripple effect to make collective action towards something. So I think for me, courage can sometimes look like saying, I don't think we should do that. I'm not sure that's the right move. And then it's so funny how sometimes people who are just being quiet are like, yeah, I think you're right. You know, and I'm not saying this is about me. This is just in general. And I also think that when we show courage, it empowers other people to do the same thing as well. You know, we've heard the stories. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind for me is the civil rights movement. When people started saying, hey, Black individuals in particular started saying, hey, I don't think this is right. I don't think we're being treated fairly. I'd like some equity in my life. And it takes people to stand up and a voice to break the silence, and then more voices join in. And I think that's a really important part of courage.
Well, to your point, bravery takes bravery.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It does. And, you know, and in my life, I was about your age when all of the things started happening that were so difficult for my family.
Yeah.
And I was in counseling for at least 4 to 6 months when my counselor had kept telling me to put certain boundaries in place. And I wasn't doing it. I wasn't listening. I wasn't doing it. And finally, she said, you know, you're going to need to do this. And I said, I don't think you understand what you're asking me to do.
Mm.
And she said, I know exactly what I'm asking you to do. And she said, and can you tell me why you're not doing it? And I said, yes, because I know what's going to happen if I do it. And so what it took was for me to just believe that by putting the boundaries in place and by listening to her, a professional, that the risk was going to be worth the outcome, and that I just had to, I had to believe it.
Right.
And I had to be brave enough just to do something different. I also think that's another thing with being brave is often it's because we're doing something different. We're doing something we've never done before. So it's taking us out of what we know and putting us in a place where we are being called to or asked to do something we've never tried or we've never done.
Yeah,
And that can be, that often is very scary.
Absolutely.
I mean, Remy has never had eye drops in her eyes before.
Right.
So now probably later, it's not going to be as big of a deal because she's like, oh, okay. But the fact that she said, my body is scared, but my brain and my head don't want to be, is to me a very good visual or a very good way of saying, I want to be brave. It's just, I'm also afraid.
Absolutely. You know, that reminds me of a little catchphrase that Brené Brown, you know, we love us some Brené Brown. Brené Brown says, and I actually have it on a keychain that I carry around with me. One of her catchphrases from, I believe it's her book, Dare to Lead, where she says, courage over comfort. That we need to choose courage over comfort. See, our natural human psyche, our default is always going to be comfort. You know, our default is always going to be to take the path of least resistance. Our default's always going to be what doesn't ruffle feathers, what doesn't feel uncomfortable, what doesn't feel foreign or unusual.
What doesn't require a sacrifice.
Absolutely. But when we choose courage over comfort, often, not always, there's a reward on the other side. And I think when we can actually build resiliency in our head, we can create neural pathways that say, hey, I can be brave in this because I have all of these other experiences to go from. You know, for Remy, the eye drops is such an easy, tangible example. But for her, you know, the next time she might have some medicine she needs to take, when Mallory and I say, hey, this is from the doctor, this is going to make you feel better, my hope is that she goes, and I doubt her consciousness will think of it like this, but I think her subconscious will do this, is to say, oh man, I trusted my parents and it worked out the last time. And so now it's a little easier for me to be brave this time, even though I'm still scared.
Yeah.
And I think in life, when we push ourselves to take those risks, I do think it gets easier the more that we practice it. You know, the more you practice being the person that stands up for what's right, or the more you practice, you know, when you're in a meeting and your boss says something and nobody knows what to say and you take the first stab at it, or the more you put up a boundary with someone that says, hey, I don't want you to talk to me like that anymore. Or we're not gonna treat each other like this. The more you do those things, truthfully, the easier it gets.
I think the more we practice being courageous, the more courageous we become.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like that happens. That gets more and more profound and more glaring and obvious in your life the older you get, because you start learning like, oh, I wasn't afraid to ask, or I wasn't afraid to get up and speak, or I wasn't afraid to go to this place, I wasn't afraid to meet with those people. And then all of a sudden you're like, there's so much I'm not afraid of anymore.
Absolutely. You know what, I'm gonna try to ring the bell but you are 55.
Yes.
And you know what's been such a fun, for me, it's a, you know, we've been friends for such a long time.
Well, we've been but friends. Listen, we've been friends. I was your age when we met.
That's right. That's true. You know, we've been friends for such a long time, but as we've navigated a lot of really hard things, not necessarily between each other, but in both of our lives and supporting each other. And then even truthfully with this podcast venture and all the stuff that we've been doing in the last year and a half with the podcast, you are so good at saying, well, just ask, or let's just do this, or let's just go. And, you know, it's probably, you know, you have how many more years under your belt than I do, and you've been through your heart is different than my heart. And so you have different experiences, but I think the collective, you know, in education, we would call it efficacy, teacher efficacy. But I think our courageous efficacy is when the group of courage that you can draw from is even greater than the courage you can draw from by yourself. Mm. And so I think for me, You know, I can think of some of the conversations we've had truthfully in the last 6 months. As our podcast has grown fast, we've made some big asks. We're trying some new stuff. Our collective courageous efficacy together, it has a huge impact on me in a great way because you've practiced it for so long. And I think when we start putting ourselves out there and being vulnerable in front of other people and saying, let's go for this, you know, I think we can really get so much farther.
Yes. I also think we can learn. We can learn courage, even if it doesn't work out the way that we would hope it would. It
Absolutely.
Still can teach us how to become braver each time we try. Because listen, if you try and it works out, then it's like, oh my gosh, I was brave. I did it. It worked out. Awesome. If you're brave and courageous and it doesn't go the way you planned, you can still say, I was brave. I was courageous. I tried it.
Yeah.
And then I find that what ends up happening often is I'll look back over something that maybe I got a no, or maybe it didn't work out. And I'll go, you know what? I'm so glad I tried, but now it makes sense why that no, or that didn't work out the way that I wanted it to. I think that the more we practice doing things that require our courage and our bravery, the more we do it, the bigger our perspective in our life becomes, because it opens so many more doors for us.
Totally. And I think when I actually, this is a little listy list I made. You know, I love a good list. When we embrace courage, we develop certain things in our life. Okay. So we start developing things in our life once we see those decisions or those choices that we make or that vulnerability we need to take. So here's the first one, is we develop resilience. Resilience is a really hot button word in educational spaces and also parenting spaces. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, resilience is developing those skills for your kids or with your kids or helping your kids get in these situations where they have to have determination and they have to keep going, even when things aren't maybe going their way. You know, for us and our family, we're not big helicopter parents. We're not big, we don't call the teacher a whole lot. We don't get involved with that kind of stuff. What we have chosen to do, and part of our, I don't know if you want to call it parenting style with our kids, you know, when our kids come across maybe a conflict with an adult at school or in a friendship, often what that looks like for us is it looks like us giving them a script and a vocabulary and examples from our life to draw from, to say, hey, this is how you can handle it. And I want you to try to handle it first yourself.
I think
what that does is when we have our kids try things like that by themselves, or talk even with our kids with themselves, talk to their siblings. We don't do a whole lot of like, mom, they did this. We often say, did you talk to them about it first? And the intention there is we want to develop resilience in our kids so that, you know, right now the risk, we've talked about this before too, is the risk with our kids is low. You know, the risk of my fourth grader to talk to his fourth grade teacher, that's a really low risk. I trust that the teacher on the other end, if my kid comes to them with a pretty respectful request or a respectful vocabulary, or, you know, with some thought behind what they're saying, I trust that the teacher is going to handle it well.
Right.
Now, when my child is 18 years old and might work at Chipotle and they have a boss that's a 50-year-old person that's kind of a jerk,
being inappropriate.
Right. My hope is that the experience and the low risk behavior helps them develop resiliency and courage, that when they come to a situation that has higher risk or has higher stakes, that they've developed the courage to walk into that with a little more tools in their tool belt.
Yeah,
the next thing is when we embrace courage, we teach ourselves to become adaptable to new situations. You know, I think when we try risks, especially social risks, you know, when we hang out with a different group of friends, or we try a social club, or, you know, you go to a new Bible study or a book club with someone, or even you switch jobs and you make new friends at your work, you know, we can adapt to new situations the more that we do it. It's kind of like we've kind of talked about this, but, you know, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's kind right. It's a muscle. You know, your resilience and your courage, it's really a mental muscle for us to get better at. And, you know, listen, me and you, this is not a fitness podcast. Like, this is not a fitness podcast. So, but I will say this is when you exercise your courage, it gets, the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yes.
So when you walk into that social situation that's a little uncomfortable, the next time you do it, it's going to be a little easier. Yeah. And the time after that, it's going to get easier and easier and easier. And it's really a muscle we need to develop.
That's good.
And then the third thing is when we embrace courage, we experience personal growth. And here's what I mean by that. Yes, we grow our courage. Yes, we develop resiliency, all those great things. But also, what's on the other side of those things? My hope is that when we choose courage over comfort, is that it breaks us out of our comfort zone so that we can experience new things and develop ourselves personally.
Yes,
you know, for me, when I experience courage, it's not that it's, of course, being courageous in and of itself is great, but often on the other side of that, what it has led to is more opportunities or something new and exciting I never got to experience, or access to a new group of people. You know, I can think about, I know we've talked about O Huddle before, but when they asked me to be on the board, there was a part of me that was like, oh, I don't know, I've never been on a board before. But going through that and developing relationships has given me access to people and has grown me in ways that I have never experienced before that. And so, you know, I think it's so important for us to really master that muscle of resiliency.
That's awesome. And I think that for me, it's been the truth. The more that I've been brave and the more I've practiced being courageous, the easier it gets, and the more that I practice being brave and courageous.
And we really do joke about you being 55. I know that is a joke, but at the same time, those years add up to is those years add up to experiences and habits of practicing resiliency and courage. That when you're 55, part of it is, you know, you're a 55-year-old that really doesn't worry about what people think about you because you've practiced that for so many years.
Right.
Not every 55-year-old feels the same way.
It's true.
And that's because you've been practicing this for so many years. And so courage begat courage.
Yes.
But begats courage.
Cheers to being brave and courageous. Now, Matt,
let's talk about food.
Okay. tell me what you've had lately from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods.
Okay. Let me tell you about something. I talked about apple butter barbecue sauce last week.
Yes.
This week, they have an actual new-ish product within recent months. It's a Carolina barbecue sauce. Have you had Carolina barbecue sauces?
Yes, I
have. It's like this mustardy, vinegary, golden, drippy, lovely thing. And my mouth is actually watering talking about Carolina barbecue sauce.
It's so good on homemade chicken strips.
Oh, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
So good. Well, Matt, when I went to Hilton Head, I took so many groceries, and I like to take the bulk stuff. I like to take the bulk sugar, the bulk flour, the powdered sugar. Yeah, I had it all. I made a cake, and I made some delicious shrimp Alfredo.
Ooh, hello.
Walnut Creek Cheese has their own brand of cream cheese, and your mom taught me that. Put some cream cheese up in that Alfredo.
Okay. Listen, you know what else Walnut Creek Cheese has been making lately that we got to try was their roll butter. Roll butter. Hello.
Yes, Yes, I use some of their roe butter tonight in my broiled veggies for supper.
Okay, here's a little tip that I learned the hard way. If you have butter, if it is salted, it can stay out on the counter. If it is unsalted, it cannot stay out on the counter.
No, because
it doesn't have that curing agent in it.
It doesn't have the preservatives.
It's so sad. So the next time you're at Walnut Creek Cheese, you definitely should try out their roll butter.
You can
buy a big old roll of it and put it in whatever container you want, or just keep it wrapped up in that paper.
That's right.
That's good stuff.
Yes, that's good stuff.
Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about courage. I hope that our discussion about courage actually encourages you to be courageous. And you know what? Here's what I'd love. I'd love if after this episode aired, if you would DM Leanne and I a story, maybe a story of something you were courageous in the past that this episode made you think of, or maybe there's an area where you go, hey, I'm going to step out and be courageous. And you know what we would love to do? We would love to pray for you. If that's something, if you want to share a story with us, we would be happy to pray for you as you work towards courage. Hey, thanks again. And Leanne, do you want to say it or do you want me to say it? We can't both say it.
I'll say it.
Okay.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope that you see that these are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.